Thank you, Jesus. This is Sunday morning. This is April the 30th. No, 29th. Sorry, 29th, 2018. And the subject I'm going to talk about today is the giant killers. I have to warn you this morning, I got fire in my bones. And I have permission to speak this, I believe, by the Spirit today to you. The prophets of the day are the whistleblowers of the day. They're the ones that sit on the wall. They're the ones that see what the enemy's doing and warns the people. I don't do what I do lightly. I don't just listen to anything and everything. I let the Lord lead me, and sometimes I don't want to go there. And when he does that, it puts fire in my bones for the people to know. Because that's what the prophets do. They know. They know what God wants. They see what God sees. They see the enemy. You know, we were told there, Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. So what does that mean to me? We're informed of him. We know his ways. For our generations, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, one of them even knew the battle plans of the enemy, the general or whoever, in his own bedchamber. So was he informed? Were they informed in their day about what's going on in the world? Huh? Were they informed, or did they have their head in the sand? Or did they have their head where the church has been for a long time? In Matthew 25, it talks about the virgins. They woke up. They trimmed their lamps. Why? Were they literally asleep? No, they weren't literally asleep. They were uninformed in their generation. They were just people that went to bed, got up, went to work, took the kids to soccer practice, made dental appointments, put braces on their kids' teeth, took them to the eye doctor, went home, watched TV, whatever, and just got up and did it over and over and over and over and over and over and over, went to church. But they were uninformed. They just went on business as usual. They wanted to stay business as usual. You know, some of the virgins that woke up didn't trim their lamps. What happened? They had somebody maybe telling them the truth that got them awake, but they never did cultivate it or go with it and move with it. I'm telling you today, the giant killers are not people that are uninformed. I'm convinced thoroughly, if we'd have prayed those two prayers, your kingdom come, your will be done. And if we'd have prayed for our leaders, that we might have a peaceful life, so that the gospel can go forth unhindered. If we'd have just prayed those two prayers, we'd have been so on top of the situation. But what happened? We fell asleep. And while we fell asleep, Satan sowed tares among the wheat. He came in, took advantage of the fact that the church was asleep. One of the most heinous crimes in my day was the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I said, Lord, where were the giant killers when that happened? And it was not something that just some lone person just crawled out from under a rock and decided to do. It was a planned inside job, and many, many evil people were involved in it. And I'm thinking, Lord, where was the church? Where were the giant killers? Where were the ones that should have been praying, should have been seen? Our folks were, well, they were spiritually illiterates. Nothing against them. They just didn't know any better. But we didn't really grow up with any spiritual training, so to speak. But I think this was kind of the way it was in America. There might have been a few that were awake. There always has been a few that were awake. But what concerns me about our day is this. JFK didn't have the support that our president has. The church has wakened up and began to pray. And now, with the backing of the church, he'll be a success. JFK didn't have that. He had his brother. But he walked into the same snake pit that Donald Trump has walked into. Except men, under the influence of God, recruited him to do it. So, where were the giant killers? I said, Lord, help us not to be so into our own little giants that we don't see the bigger picture. There's some big, big ones. Big, big ones. He said, take the land. Why did they not take the land? The giants? Like it or not, I'm going to speak what the Lord gives me. I'm going to follow Him and do whatever, whether it's popular or don't like it. Your face tells me you hate it. I don't care. I sold out a long time ago. We're going to look at some scriptures today, and this is to lift you up and encourage you as a giant killer. Like I said, it just put fire in my bones to see that we're well able to take the land. We're well able to take the land. There's no weapon that's formed against us or this country that will prosper if the giant killers are on the job. We're doing our job. We cannot drop the ball. This is our last chance. Hope you know that. This is our last chance. And it's by the grace of God. I remember listening to, it was Gloria and Billy on the Believer's Voice of Victory. And she began, this is back in 2015, I believe. She said the Lord, with her prayer, praying for the End Days Church is her ministry. She said the Lord told her to recruit people to begin to pray 24 hours a day around the clock in 30-minute segments. And so people called in and signed up to do just that. And she said, the Lord said, that you have until the end of 2016, I believe it was, to stay what was coming. I think probably what was coming is what Oral Roberts saw. And because when you listen to his tape, he can't hardly describe or even talk to even let you inform you what exactly he saw. He just knows something was coming towards New York. I do know this. What secret space programs and military and things have been doing all these years, hiding it from the public, they're well able to stage a big production to take this world down. In fact, from what I know, you can look this up for yourself. Actually, this is what Obama was going to stage in October before the election so that he could step in, declare martial law, and have a third term. And so what happened? Church was praying. It stopped whatever, whether it was a fake alien hoax attack. They do have the capability to do it. They said they've got, it's been in place really since, what's his face, old Bush was in office. So these things have been in place, but what stopped it? The giant killers. So I'm thinking, you know, Lord, we're really, one can put 1,000, two to 10,000. You know, what impressed me about Gideon's army and what caused the Lord's decision was this. The 300 were those that got their water. They're looking. They're aware. They're drinking. They're watching. The ones that bent down, lapped like a dog, like, well, business as usual, no big deal. Send them home. Send them home. They're not worthy to be in this army. See, that's the giant killer. They are always watching. They're always on their edge because there's always a bigger picture than the little bitty thing that you're dealing with. Let me tell you. It's just backlash from the bigger picture and what's happening in the whole scheme of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God advancing forward. Thank you, Lord. It's my prayer that the church does not go back to sleep. Like I said, there's going to be those that never wake up. They don't take the red pill. If you want to know what they say, the red pill. In other words, the awakening. They're calling it the awakening. Why? The virgins are awakening. We may have a great military force, but the truth of the matter is the greatest military force on earth is the church, God's giant killers. God's giant killers. We're not looking at the petty issues that we deal with every day. We're looking at the big picture of the kingdom of God. See, we work for Him. The Lord wants us informed of what's going on, the Satan's strategy of this day. It's the same old strategy, but he's got, you know, he may add different people. Do you know when Hitler fell, it just transferred. It just transferred. It didn't, just because he died. He was a puppet. You realize that? He was just a puppet. This evil influenced him and paid for his campaign and what he wanted to do. This evil force that Trump is now dealing with, they call the shadow government. It's been working a long time in the earth. It isn't just something just happened because Obama did it. No, he's just one another puppet. See? Just another puppet. So, that brings me to this. They say the CIA is basically the mob. And, you know, the mob was a big thing in America in the 30s. But the thing is, a lot of these CIA agents, which they say who really, if you want to get a crux, they're the ones that took Kennedy down, which there were some others with them, but they have their finger in broadcasting, every broadcasting source, pretty well any movies, any news, any mainstream stations I'm talking about. They have their thumb in all these pies. So what are they doing? They did what Hitler did, the propaganda machine. They control the narrative. If you control the narrative, you control the people. That's why God's people, his giant killers, have to take the media mountain. They have to. They have to come in. They have to be waiting in the wings. When the swamp is being drained and they're being cleaned out, we have to step up and take it. All of it. The Lord's given us a reprieve. He's given us a chance to clean out all the corruption that's been going on for a long time. And now His people step up for this great last time harvest. Because in present circumstances, or really, it's a little better than it was, but I think what it made me realize is, see, people say, why don't Trump do something? Why aren't we seeing any arrests? Why aren't we doing this? Why don't we do that? How can he arrest people when his main FBI and CIA are all corrupt? How can he make the arrest he wants to? He has to go slowly and do things step by step. Little steps to make sure. A lot of it is catching the little guys first and they rat out the big guys. I mean, just think about it. Kim Jong-un, a couple of days ago, walked across the bridge from North Korea to South Korea to meet with that president, and they're shaking hands and hugging, and they've made a peace agreement. This has not been seen since, what, 70 years ago? 70 years or longer? And you don't even hear it in the mainstream media being covered. Does that tell you somebody's bought out the mainstream media and is controlling the mainstream media? We need to be the ones that control the mainstream media, God's giant killers. Is it too much for us? Are we going to take our land? We have an assignment. Get it off of these petty things. The devil's trying to get your attention over here. Damn, when they said, come on, you know how he works. Are you a giant killer today?
Yes.
Me too.
Absolutely.
The Lord said you can have your world back. You can take the land. It's been given unto you, is what he says. Everywhere where the sole of your foot treads, I've given unto you. Our father Abraham. We're heirs of Abraham. Heirs according to the promise. Same promises of Abraham. He's given us our land. And he says we're well able to take it. We've got to change the narrative. What this, our system has been propagandized by movies and by television and by fake news. There's no true journalism, except maybe in the body of Christ today. And there's a few people, a few whistleblowers standing up and speaking the truth. You know, that's what's going on with the QAnon. That's what's happening. The real news is coming out. What's really happening in the world is coming out for all to see. And there's even movie stars and people that influence lots of people seeing the light. That's where it starts. We need to not be afraid anymore. See, fear is the biggest enemy. Satan, he is here to try to scare you out of what God wants you to do. Okay, let's look at some scriptures. 1 Samuel. Chapter 17. You can take this and apply it to your personal life and your business life, which is not your job. It is what God has commissioned you to do. Your job is a giant killer. Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle and were assembled at Soco. I'm getting a little bit of, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soco and Azekah in Emphes-Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with the valley between them. The champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of mail, and the coat weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had bronze shin armor on his legs and a bronze javelin across his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and a shield bearer went before him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David was the son of an Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, he was old and advanced in years, and his 3 sons had followed Saul into battle. Their names were Eliab, the firstborn, Abinadab, and third, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Philistine came out morning and evening, presenting himself for 40 days, and Jesse said to David his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to your brothers at the camp. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of the 1,000. See how your brothers fare and bring some token from them." Now Saul and the brothers and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose up early next morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the provisions, and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host going forth to the battleground shouted the battle cry. And Israel and the Philistines put the battle in array, army against army. David left his packages in the care of the baggage keeper. and ran into the ranks and came and greeted his brothers. As they talked, behold, Goliath the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came forth from the Philistine ranks and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him terrified. They ran for the foxhole. Every time that a giant would stick out and come out, boast, they had run for the foxhole. I don't want to hear anything but good, lovely report. Yes, we are supposed to dwell on what's good, but we are to be informed. We should know what the enemy's up to. The Lord will tell us what the enemy's up to. Okay, 25. And the Israelites said, "Have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defile Israel, and the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel." And David said to the men standing by, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? Takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I don't know if you might have listened to the testimony of Silk and Diamond. I did a little bit. They're two black sisters. I mean, you talk about, man, every time they talk to you, it's like they're shouting at you. That's just, they got that, you know, going. Anyway, they were liberals, Hillary supporters. And they saw the truth. And now they've been on YouTube, and they have, a couple million supporters that follow him, and they tell it like it. We love our president. We love our country. You know, they're really vocal about it, and they've done a lot to sway the black people because most of them are liberal. And anyway, they were taken, kicked off of Facebook, and a lot of their income comes from their website. So it took away their income. They're not being able, their free speech is being censored. So they are appearing before a judicial committee to hear this case. And I didn't hear a lot of it because, I mean, you can't hear much of them because they're just running a marathon every time they just talk, you know. But God's raising up people like this that have seen the truth, and they're wanting an awakening. They're not running for the foxhole. Well, we've had all these handouts all these years. Let's keep the Democrats in office, you know. You know, they're going to take care of my health care, and they're going to pay my rent, and then I can get on food stamps. They buy my groceries, you know. I don't have any complaint. I admire them from stepping out of that and being vocal and being behind the president, being a patriot, not going with the status quo. Our way of living is under fire. It's going on right now on the internet. It's been going on really ever since all this started and this executive order went into place. It started showing up where it's obvious that they're doing this, trying to take every Christian off the air. I saw a deal where in Canada, was it Canada, that they don't want to, they're trying to ban the sale of Bibles? Was it Canada? But anyway, I'm just thinking, we're the giant killers. We're the ones to take the land. When we know these things are going on, this is how you listen to the news. Don't be afraid of the news. When they say they're blah, 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 and I'm not going to sit and watch the news, don't get me wrong, but when you hear something you don't like, say what you want. Change it. Don't go, "Well, I don't want to hear that." That's a problem. We don't want to hear that. We don't do nothing. We just keep doing our little 9-to-5. Or we don't do anything. And the devil keeps taking ground. No, we were made to speak. You know, what is the most powerful thing on earth? Words. Who's controlled the words, the narrative? Satan. Who needs to stand up and make their voices known? Who needs to change the situation? Who needs to speak God's word and change it? That's what we are. Instead of running for the foxhole. All right, where did I leave off? Oh, was it 27? Now, verse 28, "Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he said to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness. You know what? Giant killers might not be very esteemed, and they're few and far between, but they're God's most powerful weapons. Why? Because they're going to take down the giants. I know your presumption and evilness of heart, for you came down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? See, those who walk by faith, the others want to shoot them down. Okay. What have I done now? Was it not a harmless question? See, they're the misfits that don't seem to fit in the regular church, because we say stuff they don't like. David said, what have I done now? Why was it not a harmless question? And David turned away from Eliab to another, and he asked the same question. And again the men gave him the same answer. When David's words were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight with him. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go to fight against this Philistine. You're only an adolescent, and he has been a warrior from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep. And when there came a lion, or again a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, I went in after it and smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. So in his regular private life, he practiced this. See, he slayed some little giants. So when it came to the time for the big show, we'll see what happened. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, smote it, and killed it. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the, or out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword over his armor. Then he tried to go, but he could not, for he was not used to it. And Saul said to David, or David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I'm not used to them. And David took them off. See, Saul did what he thought was best. Soulish, fleshly. But David, he did his battles by the Spirit. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's lunch bag, a whole kid's skin slung from his shoulder in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, the man who bore the shield going before him. When the Philistine looked around and saw David, he scorned and despised him, for he was but an adolescent with a healthy reddish color and a fair face. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This is how you treat the news. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It ain't going to happen the way you say. It'd be like diamond and silk. It's going to be the way I say. I decree by the power of the living God, it's going to be the way I say. That's why we've got to guard our words. Don't get into that. I don't like. And don't get into that. Keep your speech pure. Say what you want only. Don't get into the grunt mode. Well, I don't like the way they do things. And here we go on that bandwagon. Don't do that. Say what God says. We'd be well able. No, that's not going to happen. What you just decreed is going to fall on you. What the devil meant for harm is going to happen to you. I go into a place saying, no, this is the way it's going to be. I'm the giant killer here. And I'm taking down the giants in this place. And I'm going to be the ruler. I'm taking possession of this land. I serve you notice, devil. Every demon in this place, you get your butts out of here and do it right now. There's a new sheriff in town. Come on, we're supposed to be ruling and reigning. That's what this mission statement of this ministry is. Reign in life as kings. Not lay down and just be whipped and so tired you just drag your old bones around like you just hadn't. I can just see the Lord now. He's going, I've done it all. What are they going to believe me? They're seated with me in the throne. They're only running and reigning. They don't act like it. Okay. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut off your head. You loudmouthed, lying devil. I'm going to cut off your head. You're trying to cut off my head, but I'm cutting off your head. That's what he said. I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. We have a powerful God. Our words are powerful. And he didn't have the Holy Ghost like we do. He didn't even have salvation. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, when we speak like David, God's power shows up. David didn't kill the Philistine. That stone broke his skull. There's an angel behind that stone. When the Philistine came forward to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't run for the foxhole. He ran towards the giant. It's like Maggie, rah, 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 up there to something, you know, like she's just the biggest dog there ever was. She's never known she's little. Rah, rah, rah. Can't you just see her? That's what that Philistine said about David. You're just a flea. David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it, and it struck the Philistine, sinking into his forehead. He fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck down the Philistine and slew him. But no sword was in his hand. So he ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. We've got to cut off his head. That means you cut off that head. They might recover from some other kind of wound. But you cut off that head, they dead. They're dead. There is no testimony without a test. We will meet with resistance. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and violence taken by force. Is that what David did? Did he have resistance? Yeah, he did. But he took it by force. Okay? The Israelites reacted to their circumstances. David, the giant killer, seized the heaven-born possibility. That's Isaiah 45:8. Heaven-born possibilities. It was David's promotion day. David's promotion day. Okay, now, flip back to 16. See, this was the opportunity that had been spoken to David. If he had not seized the opportunity, he would have missed his time. See, I'm talking to you today about we're giant killers. And I've been, a few weeks, the Lord has kind of been bringing this up really for about a month now. That he is looking for those that are ready to step up into position. They've been trained for it their whole life. But they can't be afraid. They have to step up when God steps up. When it's time to face the giant, you face the giant. You run towards it in obedience to God and not run for the foxhole because you don't like change. Who does? I don't know anybody who does. Everybody likes to be comfortable. Okay, Samuel 16:1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." And Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Have you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked on Eliab, the eldest son, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." See, the big dog, the one that everybody noticed. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his appearance or at the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. But Samuel said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen him." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then he said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" Jesse said, "There is yet the youngest. He is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him, for we will not sit down to eat until he is here." Jesse sent and brought him. David had a healthy reddish complexion and beautiful eyes and was fine looking. The Lord said to Samuel, "Rise, anoint him. This is he." See, God's going to choose these misfits that didn't fit in this what you call the corporate church. They found no place. They've probably been talked about and made fun of and thought lowly of. What are you doing over there, two people? Come on now. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, and Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So there we are. We're anointed. We've been anointed, called, set apart for a time. We're just waiting to step up. We're just waiting to step into the places and the doorways that God opens for us to fulfill what He had us be born in the earth for. Everyone else treated David with little regard but God. See, God didn't look at men, you know, all the big leaders in the church and everything that have, they have such a big showing and they're known all over the place. I'm finding they don't even have any relevance in the world today. I mean, that's a terrible statement to make, I guess, but I'm thinking, Lord, it seems they're not up with the times. But I believe it's because there's the changing of the guards. See, the underground church, the ones underground ends, the ones that have been sitting in the wings, in the background, in the prisons like Joseph, training, going through pain and agony, sometimes broken heart because they feel so lonely. These are the ones that God is fixing to raise up to do a mighty work. These are His giant killers. Nothing wrong with the ones in prison. But I think, you know, some of them will just step down. Not that they did anything wrong. They were for their time. But God's raised up newbies. This is a new day. This is a new time for us as the church and our country. This republic is being taken back, brought back to all its beauty and glory of what the founding forefathers meant for it to be, that's based on the Constitution, that was based on the Word of God. Boy, this is important. I hope good records are being kept about this time so that the true records of the history of the United States of America can go down where our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, however long the Lord tarries, they will see the true history of the United States of America. They'll see the true history of the church. The giant killers. The Lord sees it all, and He is carefully watching over you in your circumstances. There's not a thing. If a sparrow falls from a tree to the ground and He takes notice of it, if He keeps the hairs of your head numbered, don't think for a minute He doesn't see you in all your circumstances and exactly where you are and exactly what you're going through. He sees those people of faith. See, that's what made the difference with David. See, Saul, he had to do what he had to do, and it was in the flesh. And the Lord said, I've rejected him. But of David, he's the one after my heart that's always asking me, what do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do? And David did it. The giant killers, they are precious to him, for you see, they are rare. They are powerful. They're able to take the land. We're well able to take our country back. They are able to walk right on the heads of their enemies. This is Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The giant killers never allow the circumstances to dictate to them, but they see the land before them with eyes of faith. They see the heaven-born possibilities. Hebrews 11, go read the Faith Hall of Fame this week for homework. It talks about by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Moses, by faith Joseph, by faith Samson, by faith Jephthah, David. And on it goes. They subdued kingdoms. They routed the enemies out. They did it by faith. They were God's giant killers. The giant killers are always on the cutting edge, moving with God, going from glory to glory. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think that was that scripture. Is that right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, glory to glory. Well, I'll look at it. Okay. They are few and far between in the scriptures, but when you come across them, they stand out. They shine like bright stars, like lights in a dark generation. They're peculiar. I'd say that I'm peculiar to most people. They don't know how to take me. Well, it's because most times they're looking at things naturally. What I speak by the Spirit, whether it seems apparent or not at the time. Sometimes I listen to myself and I'm thinking, who is that? Who is that? Peculiar means something exempt from ordinary jurisdiction. Yes, the propaganda machine can't fence me in. I have another narrative. It's the Word of God. Jesus himself was a giant killer. He wasn't intimidated by the mainstream media of his day. You know, I remember Brother Hagin talked about the press. You know, in scriptures it says, talked about the press. He said, press is the same thing as the devil. And he was true. He was telling the truth. Jesus himself was a giant killer. They said this about him. This is Matthew chapter 8. You know, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But as he was, so are you in this world. All those that live God in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. This is 23. But this is what they said about him. This is 8:23. And after he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly, behold, there arose a violent storm on the sea. So the boat was being covered up by the waves, but he was sleeping. And they went and awakened him, saying, Lord, rescue and preserve us. We are perishing. And he said to them, why are you timid and afraid, O you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peaceableness. And the men were stunned with bewildered wonder and marveled, saying, what kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? He was a giant killer. Satan's the one who brought the storm. See, he tried to take Jesus out too. The same things that we go through, he did the same thing to Jesus. Giant killers don't run for the foxhole. They seize the day. They're heaven-born possibilities. The opposition is to be expected. Giant killers are the violent ones. They won't be denied. The kingdom of heaven is advanced forward by us taking it by force. We're forcing our way through, even in the midst of obstacles. They are from a different kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Okay, Numbers 13. Is this helping anybody today?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's great that the Lord is giving us a reprieve, and he's cleansing the land, and he's releasing the money that's been stolen in the Jubilee. But this isn't anything new with God. He's done it all throughout the Bible. All right, 13, Numbers. And the Lord said to Moses, "Send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. For each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader or head among them." So Moses, by the command of the Lord, sent scouts from the wilderness of Paran, all of them men who were heads of the Israelites. And I'm not going to read all their names there. All right, verse 17. Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Get up this way by the south and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is timber on it or not, and be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." You know, Moses made a mistake by giving him an opinion. Because in Joshua's day, he said, "Shut up and march." He didn't care about their opinion. He didn't care about their opinion. He told them, "This is the way it's going to be." And they followed it, and the walls fell. So they went up and scouted through the land and from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob to the entrance of Hamath, and then went up into the south and came to Hebron and Haman, Shishai and Talmi. The sons of Anak were there. And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two. They brought also some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the Israelites cut down there. And they returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. You would have thought, after having manna for 40 years, that it would have been impressive, the fruit. They told Moses, "We came to the land to which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit." But, uh-oh, we get in trouble when we start with them buts. "But the people who dwell there are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak. Amalek dwells in the hill in the south, the Hittite, the Jebusite, the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan." Caleb quieted the people before Moses. See, he saw where this was going. They started giving their opinions. "Let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it." He was a giant killer. You can't kick a giant killer down. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scattered out, saying, "The land through which we went to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." They defeated themselves after God said, "It's already yours." Well, we know what happened to them. Okay, now turn over to Joshua chapter 6. Now these are the ones that that fell dead in the wilderness, that gave the bad report. Well, really the leaders of the tribes, the 10 men, died from a plague before the Lord, it said, because they brought the evil report. But all the people that had the same mindset, they died out. And they said, our kids will die too. But the Lord said, no, your children, whom you said will die in the wilderness, they're the ones that'll go in. All right, Joshua 6, 1. Now Jericho, a fenced town with high walls, was tightly closed because of the Israelites. No one went out or came in. Now I'm telling you today, there's some walls in our country that are coming down. There's some big walls. Been here a long time. Rooted in. Coming down. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho, its king and mighty men of valor, into your hands. That swamp is being drained and everything in there. I said, Lord, don't let one slimy creature remain, whatever it might be. And seven priests, So the mighty men of valor into your hands. You shall march around the enclosure, all the men of war, going around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and on the seventh day you shall march around the enclosure seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the enclosure shall fall down in its place, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Joshua did not ask for their opinions. He got directions from the Lord and told them just the way it was going to be. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, let seven priests bear seven trumpets and ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. He said to the people, go on, march around the enclosure, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or let your voice be heard, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, then you shall shout. I remember one time Fred Price tried to just in his church get his people to follow a few just simple instructions. He told them to come up to the altar, and they had some steps, and to lay their Bibles, I think it was on the right side of the altar. And they put them all over the place. And he said, there's my point. Giant killers follow directions to the letter. They do exactly what God says do. They don't add to it or take away from it. So he caused the ark of the Lord to go around the city once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Most people couldn't keep their mouth shut to save their mouths. I mean, save their lives. Especially in this day. Such silly talk. Just silly. Just everywhere you look, just silliness. Just, good Lord, are these people even... I think this is from social media, being on computers all the time. They don't know even how to talk or do anything. Especially the millennials. They're just like... Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. They're silly. They're not serious. They're silly. It's like they have no grounding. They're just... And the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord passed on, blowing the trumpets continually, and the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord, the priests blowing the trumpets as they went. They're the way they are is because they've been propagandized. They have no grounding, especially the grounding of God's word. Just simple things that we learned about honesty. Integrity. They know nothing about it. On the second day, they compassed the city enclosure once and returned to the camp, so they did for 6 days. On the seventh day, they rose early at daybreak and marched around the city as usual. Only on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. And the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is in it shall be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all who were with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the accursed and devoted things, lest when you have devoted it, you take of the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, the trumpets were blown. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they raised a great shout, and the wall fell down in its place, so that the Israelites went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Then they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, donkey, with all the edge of the sword. So, God did it. He gave explicit directions about the loot they recovered, where it was to go, and what they were to do with it. Later, there was a man in the camp that violated that. He ended up losing his life over it. Yeah. So, the Lord was explicit in what he wanted to do. So they took the land. The giant killers are not deterred, even though walls of circumstances appear to be standing in their way. How can you be a giant killer without a giant? They don't see the walls. They see their heaven-born possibility beyond it. In Joshua 10:7-14, when he's facing a battle and the sun was about to go down, he spoke to the sun and it stood still, and the moon stood still in its place until the battle was over. Jesus taught his disciples to be giant killers, Mark 11:23-24. Say to this mountain, the obstacle, the giant, the wall that stands in your way, be removed now and cast into the sea. If you say it and believe it, it'll be, basically. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by spirit. Okay, Joel 3, I'm not sure what that says, but we're going to look at it. Got me curious. Well, I should. It says, stir up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I like the way it emphasizes, a warrior. This is how giant killers think and speak. It's not a flesh flight, but it's not a flesh fight, but a spiritual one. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to Christ. See, David didn't let what the giant said to him intimidate him. So what? So what? I mean, the devil's not going to speak to you. Now, he might try to distort the word of God, but he's going to, of course, tell you the opposite of what God has said. That's the way he works. He's a liar. He tells you a lie. Okay, Matthew 7. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man of business, house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So this is the giant killer. He's standing. The wind and the waves are coming, but it doesn't move him. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, they run for the foxhole. He doesn't do them. We'll be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. Great and complete was the fall of it. James 5:17-18 talks about Elijah. Now, Elijah was this great man of faith. He called fire down from heaven and consumed the prophets of Baal. And, you know, he did all of these things. But then Jezebel got after him, made some boast, she's going to kill him. He took off running, scared. I'm thinking, it says he was a man, was a man of like passions like we are. He was subject it to deal with the things that came against him in the flesh. That's when the whirlwind came and he's brooding about it. Lord, just kill me. I'm the only one left. He says, well, I've reserved 7,000 more that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. Here came the earthquake, here came the wind, here came the fire, whatever all of it was. And the Lord says, I'm not in that. I'm not in this big show that the devil's always about a big show. We were talking about the CIA and all these productions they put on these false flag events that stage a show to manipulate the narrative. They want you thinking, they wanted 9/11 for us to be against the Muslims. When it was an inside job. That's how Satan works. He's trying to control the narrative. He wants you to think a certain way and only hear a certain thing to brainwash you from the truth. That's exactly what's going on. Anyway, God's not in all that. He's in the still small voice. But he was also a man of faith that he could speak to it for it not to rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. Then he spoke again and it rained and the earth produced its crops. As a giant killer, you're right on track for heaven-born possibilities. Keep standing. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. It really starts out in the first of it, though, if you read the whole thing in context, about honoring authority. Doing the right thing. And that way our faith works. Then we can stand up with our armor on. See, we're not getting on the other bandwagon and tearing down our government or tearing down our leaders or tearing down... No, we're praying for them. It keeps the pathway open for God to work. We can shut down our own blessings by getting into that mode, see? It's the one that got outside of being on the rock, obeying the word, that their house was ruined. We're to be strong. We're to stand. And when we've done all to stand, it says to keep on standing. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I want to read that to you. It's a great scripture. And I think I wrote it down wrong. It's 1 Thessalonians, not 2nd, I think. Wait a minute. Let me look here. Nope. Well, I don't know why I wrote that down. It's the one about being faithful, whatever one that is. God is faithful. All right. He does have a plan. Is it what?
2 Thessalonians
3:3. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. We have to trust the plan. Q is always saying, trust the plan. Trump is always saying, trust the plan. He does have one, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't draw back. Hebrews 10. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and acknowledgement of it. For he promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. Then verse 35. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. If you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. Then 38 says, but the just shall live by faith. What is walking by faith? It's walking by what God's word says and not looking at the circumstances. Don't run for the foxhole. Keep on standing. 1 Timothy 6 talks about fight the good fight of faith. And 13 talks about how Jesus, standing before Pontius Pilate, maintained the good confession. He didn't try to get out of it. He didn't faint. He stood strong and by faith went to the cross. Hebrews 13, 5. If you will do that, this is what the Lord says. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, surely not. So we take comfort and encourage and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I won't run for the foxhole. I will not fear dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? He's faithful. Come on, giant killers. Shake, shake. It's time to shake some of this petty stuff off. Quit letting it cause you to get in these funks. All it is saying you're going in the right direction. If you're getting flack, that means you're advancing the kingdom of God. And you have to just keep on forcing your way through. You're in prime position to see God's glory. What glory? The giant slain, the walls fallen. You get the picture. Heaven-born possibilities. Obstacles that you've dealt with for a long time. Bye-bye. Even if you are silent, sometimes silence is a counterattack. The Lord said to me, counterattack. Don't react. Counterattack. 2 Corinthians 10 through 5. Casting down thoughts and imaginations. Joshua was told to meditate the word day and night so he wouldn't be afraid, so he could be successful. The biggest obstacle that stands in your way today is what? Your thinking. Okay, let's look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15:10, Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this. It's not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes a man unclean and defiles him. So he's saying it's not what's out here. It's not what's out here going in. It's what's coming out of your thought. Right here, 17. Do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. It's what you believe. The narrative that you swallow. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings, disputings, and designs such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defile him, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean and defile him. The children of Israel didn't go in because we be as grasshoppers. Were they grasshoppers? No. God said they were well able, but they believed the narrative. What they thought kept them out, doubt. They doubted that they were giant killers. They doubted that they were able, even though God said, you are able. Joshua and Caleb saw the same things as they did. The other 10 leaders, they saw the same thing. Mm-hmm. Did they? Really? Did they see the same thing? What defeated them? The giant? The mountain? The lack? The sickness? No, their thoughts. Their thoughts defeated them. Wasn't what they were seeing. What defeated Israel at Soko? The giant? Oh, their thoughts. We be not able. It passed down from generation to generation. They're thinking, did David see the same giant? Did he hear the same things as the rest of the Israelites? Yes, he did. What was the difference? his thinking. This day, I will cut off your head. This day. Serve a notice on you, devil, you're done with me. Walking by faith has nothing to do with you. It's about not giving in to what you feel, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, or what you smell. It's simply walking by what you believe, the Word of God. That and that only. The world system has propagandized men's thinking processes just like Israel coming out of Egypt. Egypt never came out of them. It's a fact. It's a fact today that by stripes you are healed. It's a fact today, according to Philippians 4:19, that your God has supplied all your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It depends on what narrative that you choose to believe. Satan pushes his agenda on you through fear, but he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Push past it, giant killers. It is only lies. Victory is on the other side of it. Don't run for the foxhole when the giant shows up. Stand your ground. When you've done all to stand, stand. James 3 says, resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I want to read a little something from Brother Hagin here. Don't accept sickness and disease. When I was a teenager, the doctor said I wouldn't live, but I proved them wrong. I had two serious organic heart troubles and an incurable blood disease. I was also paralyzed. The doctor said that my white corpuscles were eating up my red corpuscles faster than I could build them up and faster than anything could be done about it medically. They said, we'll be honest with you, if you didn't have the heart condition, if you didn't have the paralysis, the incurable blood disease alone would prove fatal to you. But it didn't prove fatal to me. In 68 years, I've not had one single headache. I proved God's word works. The last headache I had was August 1933. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on what I learned from the Bible. Someone might say, what would you do if you had a headache? Well, first, I wouldn't tell it if I did, and second, I'd resist it. Some years ago, I was leaving the parking lot at Raymond. All of a sudden, the pain hit me in my head. My head started hurting. I spoke up and said, oh, no, you don't, devil. You don't put any headache on me. I don't have one. I'm not going to have it. By the time I was heading down the road, it was all gone. You see, we make the mistake of ever accepting these things. Where does it happen? Thoughts. I resist the devil and he flees from me. I resist sickness and disease. I refuse to accept anything that the devil brings my way. See, he brings it and it gets your attention off onto him, what he's bringing. That's when we have to begin to counter. You may not ever say a word, but you're countering in your mind. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Meditating, himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses, over and over and over. Or whatever, scripture. Submit yourselves therefore to God. How do you do that? His word. It resists the devil and he takes off. Hey, giant killers, we have an opportunity standing before us, a heaven-born opportunity. Yep. We are giant killers.